Today, as Paul said, is the second part in our second segment, or it's just the fifth part of our series. And there's going to be 8 parts this year. And so next week will be the last part of our second segment, and then we'll come back for two more weeks later on in the year. And the title of my message for all of those taking notes that want to go to heaven is called Mysterious Ways. Mysterious Ways. I'll not sing the Peter Andre song that has just been sung out beautifully by George Heeks on the front row here. And you know, every time we gather, you know, I don't want you to dismiss this moment. Every time, I believe God wants to speak to us. Wherever you find yourself, whoever you are today, wherever life has taken you, whatever your week has looked like, I believe God can speak to all of us. And even if you're in this place today and you would say, I don't believe, firstly, this is a place where you can belong. Many people's stories are they belonged before they believed. And that's true of many people in this place today. But I also believe if you'll open your heart that God will speak to you today. I believe it because he does that with me as well. And so let's read these verses, Ephesians 3, and we're in Ephesians 3 now, verses 1 to 13. It says this, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." You know, you can walk into this place with freedom and confidence today. "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you you're here. We thank you that you're with us. And we pray that you would speak to us right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Thanks, Joe. Don't run off, mate. Might need you soon. Have you ever been left in a moment wondering what happened? Like, what happened? It just seems like a mystery. You just do not know what happened. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but you've got to the end of a movie and you're asking the question, so what happened? It like left you on a cliffhanger. It left you on an edge. I mean, great TV series do this, don't they? You could have the most boring episode of a TV series, but if it's a great TV series, that last 5 minutes leaves you hanging and you're like, so what's coming next? And it's like, I've got to watch the next one. Even though, just like some of you are doing in my message right now, you're flicking through your phone as you're watching TV, you're going through, you know, maybe it's Instagram or maybe it's Threads. If you don't know, that's new social media, people. Glyn Owen is an early adopter of Threads and all of that. But I don't know if you've ever got to that moment. Now, for some of us, We don't mind that moment because we get to explore our imagination. We get to think about what happened and we get to be in those moments. My wife, however, hates it. She gets to that moment. My wife is Debbie. She's camp pastor with me here in Chesterfield. But we get to that moment at the end of a movie and she asks me, so what happened? I've just watched the exact same thing as you, Debbie. I don't know. I don't have some like manifold wisdom into the director's mind. One movie in particular that left us right on the edge, and even today, it still messes with my mind, is Inception. Anyone watched Inception? You got a character where they called Dom Cobb, and this is Leonardo DiCaprio. Some people have said I look like him. I'm not sure. And that one does not go in the dead joke section. And They go into these dream states and different realms, and I don't want to get into all the technical details, but what they've got is they have these things called totems where they use these to determine whether I've been in this dream state or whether I'm actually in real life, reality right now. And what they're trying to accomplish in dream states is they're trying to get into somebody else's dreams to make them change their mind about something that's happening in reality. That's a very brief, but it's a lot more complex than that, but it's an amazing movie. But Dom Cobb's totem is a spinning tractricoid top, all right? If you don't know what one of those is, we've got a video that's just going to play behind me, and this is it. And this is the final scene of the movie. He's come out of the dream, or has he? And there's this moment, if you've not seen Inception, and I don't know if you can see, but there's the spinning top. And this is how the movie ends, because he sees his kids and he thinks, am I in real life? Am I not? And that's how it ends. It just keeps spinning, but it wavers. It wobbles. It's a moment. And you get to the end of the movie, and as my beautiful wife would say, so what happened? Is he in a dream? Is it real life? What happened? And I'm like, well, you determine for yourself. I don't want to determine for myself. I want to know the facts. I in life, we all want to be in the know. I think now social media and some of social media is all about being in the know. At the moment, you know, I'm going to talk about football. A lot of you don't know, but I played with Jamie Vardy. And Nathan, this is not about you. It's about Jesus. Focus. But a lot of social media now is all these ITKs, these people who are in the know, who what team are signing which player and which team, which player's going where and all of this. And, you know, Declan Rice to Arsenal is nearly done. So praise the Lord. That's a prayer request fulfilled in the name of Jesus. I don't see any rumours about Everton, though. They just get rid of their players. But here's the thing that I realized in these verses, that God wants to reveal his mystery to us. That actually God wants to put us in the know. In the know about his grace, in the know about his plan, in the know about the great things. He even says the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. He wants to put us in the know in all of these things. He wants to reveal his mystery to us. He's already revealed the mystery, and Paul's writing about it, the mystery that he wants to reveal, the mystery that God brings all people through his grace, through Jesus, his son, that he brings all people who can be partakers in this good news, this gospel of Jesus, this gospel that Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us, that he was the sacrifice, that he died for our sins. He died so we could receive forgiveness. He died so that actually that gap between us and God, that relationship that was broken in the garden right there early in Genesis, that gap was broken. That could be restored through Jesus dying on the cross. He wants to reveal that to us, that that's for every single person. I know I got friends, lots of friends, who when I talk about church, they would say, oh, that place isn't for me. That's not for me. If I went in there, that place would burn down. I'm thinking, well, just don't set fire to it and then it won't. But I know what they're saying. They're saying, if you knew my life. But here's the thing, God, and through this mystery, is that actually he accepts all people. He's for all people. But here's the beauty of this, is that actually it's not just a one-time moment. This, you know, we call it salvation. Salvation isn't just this one-time moment where, you know, we're going to give an opportunity for you today. You've never made that decision to follow Jesus. We will give you that opportunity today. It's the best decision you can make in your life. But salvation is not that one-time moment. It's a continual process that God takes us through, that every single day in different moments that God would actually bring about salvation in our lives, that we would be made into the image, icon, the image of God, that we would have the image of God in us. Last week I talked about how at the end of verse 2, you've got two groups of people that Paul is writing to. It's the Jews and the Gentiles, and they're in the church together in Ephesus, but they're kind of like at different ends of the spectrum. I likened it like to a school disco. That when you walked into a school disco, one side, you know, when I used to walk in school discos, the girls would be on one side, the boys would be on the other side, and you'd have some crazy kid breakdancing in the middle. Okay? But that was like walking into the church in Ephesus. You've got the Jews on one side and the Gentiles on the other side. The Jews knowing that they are God's special people, and the Gentiles who have accepted this message of Jesus, and the Jews are kind of looking down on the Gentiles, and the Gentiles think they're the Jews are elitist, and you've got this divide. And so what Paul's reminding them, just like we recognized last week, that actually it's for all people. That we're one body, that we're all partakers. But here's the thing, we don't just receive it, we get to take it with us. We don't just receive this mystery, but we actually get to take it with us. That tomorrow as you walk into your workplace, today as you walk back into your family home, you get to take this message, this good news, this gospel with you. And Paul's highlighting, I've got a responsibility, the responsibility of sharing this good news, sharing this gospel, actually being a vehicle for what God wants to do in the world. And so do we. That we're called to tell the world, to show the world, to reveal to a world, to make known the mystery of Jesus. The mystery of Jesus. Here's why it's a mystery to me, is because I didn't do anything to earn it. I actually probably did more to like not deserve it than I did to deserve it. That's why it's a mystery to me. Yet God, in his grace, was willing that even in my life, I might have done more to undeserve the grace of God. He says, no, it doesn't matter. You can have the grace of God in your life. And he wants us to take this message, this mystery, to a world that is broken, that is lost, that is hopeless, that don't know that actually Jesus is for them. He wants us. All of us, like not just a few of us, all of us to make it known. God's not just leaving us with our totem spinning at the end of the movie, not knowing, did it fall? Did it stay spinning? What happened? No, he's revealed this incredible mystery to us, and he doesn't want the world to be left hanging, is God for me? Does God love me? Can I be forgiven? Can I find hope? You know, we've got a world that are asking lots of questions. a world that, you know, there's a loneliness epidemic. You know, hey, hold on. There's a family that God has for you. There's a family that God has for you. The world asking lots of questions in moments of crisis. Is there really hope? Yes, there's hope because Jesus is our hope. And that we believe, yes, the best is yet to come. And that even in the difficult circumstances, even in the difficult moments, we can know his grace and his love. And we can walk through those circumstances with God. And so God has revealed this incredible mystery. And we can reveal that to a world that needs to know the mystery. And so the first thing to recognize today is that we have to know the mystery. We have to know the mystery. For right now, if you're taking notes, then you can write down that. And how do we know this mystery? Well, Paul tells us in, I'm going to read verses 3-6 of Ephesians 3. He says this, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. It was made known by revelation. That word revelation there could have been translated an unveiling. It was unveiled. It was unveiled. You know, there's that moment of mystery. Me and Debbie will celebrate 15 years of marriage in a week on Tuesday. Well done, yes. Come on, 15 years, thanks, yeah. That was a guy starting that clap because he thought, you've remembered that. Well done, you. And we'll celebrate that. And when Debbie got married, she didn't have a veil. Many people have a veil and it's the unveiling. Now, hopefully it's not a mystery when they're unveiled. But in some context, it is a mystery where it gets unveiled. But here's the thing. It's like the gospel, this message of Jesus was unveiled to Paul. Has it been unveiled to you? Does it keep being unveiled to you? Do you keep seeing its beauty as it's unveiled? Do you keep seeing the power as it's unveiled? Do you keep seeing the life change as you unveil it? Or has it just become the norm? Has it just become, you know what? Yeah, I know. You know, I get quite passionate when I get up in here, and when I talk about what Jesus has done, I can get passionate about it. But let me tell you, been in church, you know, I was first member of this church at 6 months old, tithed in diapers. And I don't know why I said diapers, because I am not American, but I blame my son for watching too many YouTube videos for that one. But I tithed in nappies, and they were full nappies, let me tell you, people. And I tithed in them. But do you know what I found? The unveiling of that revelation and that mystery of the gospel, let me tell you, it can seem like, yeah, I know it. I just know it. And many times in my life, as it's been unveiled again and again, I've missed out on the beauty, the grace of God, the power of God, the sacrifice that was made for me, the willingness of Jesus to die on the cross, the willingness for him to take that punishment for me, and so that I could live in freedom, so that I could come to God with freedom and confidence today. So what about you? Has it been unveiled to you? Has it been unveiled, the goodness of God? What about when you unveil it? Has it just become the norm, or are you living in that unveiling? The mystery is made known in our lives through that unveiling, revelation. But Paul goes on actually in those verses and he says it was revealed by the Spirit. It was revealed by the Spirit to him. It's a work of the Spirit. And so I think we can marry the two up and say today, do you know what? Actually, I got to be continually led by the Spirit. And as that mystery keeps getting unveiled and unfolded and revealed in my life, that actually it's a work of the Spirit that reveals that mystery time and time again. Sometimes we equate that salvation moment, that one moment where we made that decision of accepting Jesus, maybe in a service, maybe it was when we were a child, maybe it was in a youth meeting, maybe it was at a camp, whatever it have been. But salvation is this ongoing process, and the mystery of God's grace can continually be unveiled to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. That it can. And so today, do we know the mystery for ourselves? The mystery that all people can receive the grace of God. The mystery that all people can be part of the church. The mystery that God loves everyone. You see, I love the church, and I think the church, when we turn up at church, you know, three main things for me that we do, we worship God. That's first and priority, foremost. That's why, that 30-second countdown being here. Why? Because it's like, do you know what? This is first and foremost. My priority is I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. It's worship to God. But then also it equips us. You know, it equips the saints. That as we hear his word, it equips us. Equips us to live out the life that Jesus has for us. Do you know what? Sometimes people will come up to me and say, oh, great message. I really love this moment in your message. And I'll be thinking in the back of my head, I'd never said that. But I love it because God equips us. In the gathering, as we gather together, he equips us to live out this life. But he also equips us together. It's not just an individual thing. He equips us together. That we're actually doing this together. You know, we've heard today, everything that we do is mission. You're not alone. We're doing this together. You know, as a young person, I used to love turning up at what was Grapevine, Be Awakened this year. And I used to love turning up at certain moments and going into the youth venues, because all of a sudden, from our ragtag group of five or six young people in our church that Gavin and Jane were leading in that moment, and I was a terrorizer in. And you know what? If you'd have seen me in that youth group, you'd have thought he'd have never been preaching on stage. And but somebody believed in me, and God had better plans for me. But I used to love turning up there, because all of a sudden there's more of us. There's a load of us together. We're in this together. And I used to come back, and you know, I used to come back kind of fired up, because I'd been in that atmosphere and environment of that. Well, what if every week we come with an attitude and a heart going, do you know what? God's going to commission me. He's going to send me. He's going to do it. Kind of, I'll just talk as like a parent and a youth pastor here. You got young people, get them to youth. Why? Because they're fired up. They're going to hear the things of God. I have a whole load of fun doing it. And if they break anything, we just blame Imagine, women's ministry. But like, get them here. Get your kids here. The curriculum we have built is like, I don't even have words for it. Incredible does not do it justice. Okay, but they're in there now, they're hearing about God, and my son's probably running riot in there trying to play football. Pray for the our GU leaders, please. Okay, but they're doing that. GU Tots in there. GU Play on Mondays done an incredible job. It's finished for the summer now. But here's my encouragement to you, get them here. Why? Because they'll be fired up. They'll hear the things of God. They'll be equipped. And then ultimately the church is to reach the world. It's to reach the world, and we're all a part of this, every single one of us. And so are we allowing the Spirit of God to reveal the mystery of God to us? Do we invite the Spirit to speak to us? Do we invite the Spirit to lead us? Do we invite the Spirit to guide us? John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said this about the Spirit. He says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He'll tell you the mysteries. So Debbie, I think when you finish a movie, you don't need to ask Nathan, you need to ask the Spirit. But sometimes we live in the mystery and sometimes we just need to go, do you know what, Spirit, what are you doing here? I love the book of Acts, but and how they were just led by the Spirit. Acts 13 and verse 2. And this talks about actually Paul, his name is Saul in this moment. It says this, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The work that Paul is talking about, the mystery of revealing the gospel to the Gentiles, to the whole world, it started with the Spirit. I'm going to set them apart. I'm going to do it. And for us today, I think these verses are so true for us. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The Spirit leads you to life. The Spirit leads you into the grace of God, and He leads us into that. And that's so important. You'll know what God desires for your life. He'll reveal the life that He has for you. He's not going to reveal all the next step and the plan, but He'll reveal the life He has for you, and He will unveil the grace of God time and time again as you walk with Him. So you got to know the Spirit. But secondly, you got to live out. Sorry, you got to know the mystery. Secondly, you got to live out the mystery. Live out the mystery. Verse 7 to 10 of Ephesians 3, it says this, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. This grace, this mystery, this that we've received is not opposed to works. But actually, this grace empowers us and fuels work. I don't know if I sent that to the team to put up on the screen, but grace empowers us and fuels work. Paul didn't just sit on this mystery for himself. He didn't just sit on this mystery for himself. Actually says in verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel. Other versions would say, I became a priest of it. It's this idea that he was an announcer of the good news. He was an announcer of that good news that God had given. He was that servant of the gospel. And why did he do that? Well, verse 9 tells us he did it to make plain to known. Sorry, I'll read it again. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which ages past was kept hidden in God through Christ Jesus. He was bringing it to light for everyone. Another version actually uses that phrase to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. He was bringing it into light. He was unveiling it. And so he became this announcer of this good news, the unsearchable mysteries of Jesus. My encouragement to us today is so are we. So are we. You know, I think there's a call on us to have a little bit of urgency about this. Again, to again pick it up and say, no, I can make this known in my life. I can make known the mystery of God. I can make known the grace of God. Romans 10 and verse 14 tells us, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You see, I think this is one of the reasons why the majority of people, the mass majority of people, make a decision in a church service or something like this, because they're hearing the message of Jesus preached to them. But I also believe living our lives as a message is powerful. That we live out this mystery. We live out this grace of God. We live it out in our lives. That the infinite grace of God that had not been seen before, God's revealing it through His words, through the message that was revealed through the Holy Spirit. But how is He doing this? Because He'd experienced it. It had been unveiled to Him, but He'd experienced the grace of God. And today, if you've experienced God's grace and God's love for your life, I believe we have a calling to take it to a world. To take it to a world that need to know Jesus. That actually, you know, let's go old time preaching. We need to start populating heaven. We need to begin to do that. But more than that, we need to actually grab some people and say, no, there's a better life for you. There's a life that Jesus has for you, and you don't just have to wait for eternity. No, you can have it right here and right now. That Jesus has more for you. That in the midst of your greatest moments and your worst moments and your tedious moments and the moments where you feel bored and the moments where you feel lost and the moments where you feel fine, you can know the greatest life through Jesus. And we get to take this incredible message to a world and to make it plain to everyone that actually it's less about the facts and it's more about I get to experience His grace, that I get to share it. One of the most powerful moments I had where I did this, and some of you have heard this story, but I was playing for Hina Town, and a secretary there, her name was Amanda, and if you're watching online, Amanda, hello, because I sent you a message, and I hope you're watching. And if you're not, I'll text you later. Not that you'll hear this, but anyway. But her dad was really ill with cancer, and he'd been like a lifelong fan. He'd been kit man at the club, and so the club began to do a few things just to, you know, kind of honour him as he was coming to the end of his life. And so one of the things, we had training one Saturday, our game had been called off, training one Saturday, and so the manager texted and said, we're going to go, his name was Ian, and we're going to go round to Ian's house and, you know, just spend 30 minutes with him, but it will mean the world to him. And so I had a friend who was playing with me at the time, who was a Christian as well, and so I got on the phone and I texted him and I said, I don't know, this is crazy, but I think we should pray for Ian as we're there. And he's like, yeah, I'm up for that. And I'm like, oh, good. Because otherwise I'm going to have to do this by myself. And so we're in his house, and we just had a drink with him. And it's getting about the time where people are thinking, right, are we going? We've had good conversation with him. And I just stopped her and I said, oh, you know, like, you know me and Jared, we go to church, we want to pray for Ian, but you don't have to stay in the room. And you got to think, this is football environment, and if you've ever been around football, then yeah, it's probably not an environment you'd think that's the best place to do this. And so I say to everyone, about 16 lads there, and I say to them all, don't worry, you don't have to stay, we're going to pray, but if you want to go, you go. They all stayed. Which scared me even more, because I wish they'd all walked out. And so we prayed. And I'm a man of faith. So I pray for Ian's healing in that moment, because I'm a man of faith. I believe he's fully healed now. He's received his healing in heaven. And so after that, we go, and Ian didn't really say much to me and my mate, and we left, and we had a game on the Tuesday. We played the game, won the game. I'd scored a couple of goals. I was pretty happy with myself. They bring Ian in to celebrate with the players, and he does that. He goes around, he shakes everybody's hands. He comes to me, he doesn't shake my hand, he says, I need to see you. Oh no. I've offended him, I've done something. So I walk into the manager's office after getting changed. Now, you can imagine, I'm getting changed and all that's going through my head is, oh no, what have I done? You know, did I say something wrong? You know, or everything. I come into the office and manager's there, assistant manager's there. Assistant manager's a Macam from Sunderland. And if you know anyone from Sunderland, then you know that they are like crazy. I don't think Tracy Jones is in the building today, but speak to Tracy Jones. She's crazy. She's amazing. But I walked into the manager's office and he says, I said, hi, and you wanted to speak to me? And he said, yeah, you prayed for me. Now, my cancer's terminal, but you prayed for me. Would you speak at my funeral? And I was like, you know, I hadn't told this story for ages. I didn't think I'd get emotional today. I had a moment, and I can't, this wasn't out of my own strength. This was led by the Holy Spirit. And I said, Ian, do you know Jesus in your life? It's my manager there, my assistant manager there. I said, Ian, do you know Jesus in your life? And he says, I did when I was a kid. And he began to tell me about how he'd gone to Sunday school and stuff, but I haven't been to church forever. And I said, Ian, do you want to know Jesus in your life? And he said, yeah. And there in that office, I got to lead him in a prayer of accepting Jesus into his life. Then came funeral where I'm going to speak, and I realized as I'm driving to the funeral, all the football lads that I play with are going to be there, plus all the football lads that I've played with previously are going to be there as well. And I just shared the gospel. I just told them about the peace of God. I told them that God was for them. And I got that incredible, incredible moment. Do you know how that came about? It came about because of a moment where I was just willing to ask, can I pray for you? Today, it could be the most simple thing that you go away and you just ask someone, can I pray for you? It might even just be a message today saying, hey, I'm taking some time to pray. Is there anything that I can pray for you about? But I also think it's our life. That as we live our life as an example, as following the image of Jesus, I believe it paints a picture. And I want to encourage you, because I have that great story about Ian, but I could tell you 25 other stories of where I've talked to friends about church. And I've invited people to church, and even people that have said they're going to come and they haven't turned up. But I want to encourage you today to not give up, to don't quit, that this gospel keeps moving forward, that this gospel of Jesus, because we read in verse 13, Paul just throws this in at the end of it. He's like, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings. What were his sufferings? He's probably been in prison for 3 years in this moment. 3 years, but even though he's in chains, even though he's in prison, the sharing, the gospel is still progressing, that people are still getting saved, that people are still accepting it. And so whether you take a moment and you say, you know, you're going to invite someone and they say no, don't give up, keep going, don't quit, because I believe that the gospel and the church is unstoppable. So much has tried to stop the church, but guess what? Jesus said he'd build his church, and if Jesus said he'd build it, nothing can stand against it. So don't quit, don't give up today. So today, would we stand? Today, I believe it's a moment to come back to that calling of God. Last week, we talked about the calling of loving one another, being the church that Jesus has for us. But I believe it's the calling to show the world the mystery, the good news. And it could be as simple as this week, sending that message, how can I pray for you? Someone sharing something and you're saying, oh, I'll pray for you. But doing it. Maybe even for some of us, it's taking a step to even just talk about your faith, even church, even to post about it, whatever it looks like. But I believe some of us, it's even to invite, you know, this summer there are things, holiday club, you got families, you got people, you know, school run, you do it with neighbors that you can invite to holiday club. Men, we got barbecue and beers coming up. Invite some people. What an incredible environment. You know, little sidetrack, the number one killer of men is suicide. What if we create a place where men are actually at home, can talk and begin to do that? Maybe that starts over a barbecue and beers. One beer, two burgers, or two beers, one burger. Whatever you choose, you can do it. But it's maybe it's inviting someone and beginning to do that.